We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Welcome back to the UFO show, Mr. Rubenstein.
Well, I don't know. What is that voice?
The UFO show.
Welcome
I am Ty.
Back,
he is Dan. This is the Solid Verbal on a Friday where we get a little weird. It's a little bit space themed.
Sure.
On today's show, we've got a fun interview planned. It is with Mike Golic. You know the guy. He's been a sports personality for years. He's obviously a noted Notre Dame alumnus, also the host of The Fan Exam, in addition to being an ESPN college football analyst. So we will talk in a little bit more detail about how you can play at thefanexam.com, Mr. Rubenstein. Being so, it is our UFO show. I was thinking, since there is a trivia component to today's interview, and really what we're here to help Mr. Golic promote, what about Unanswered Friday Orbit?
It's good. I can't remember if we've used that. may have used that already. But I like it. We can come up with something else by the end of the show if it turns out we've used it. But no, I like it. Unanswered, because we're pro all things trivia. Golic is handling trivia hosting duties on the Fan Exam. We are turning him in. We are turning him. Wow, Ty, I had a sip of beer and here we are.
Yeah.
We are turning him into the contestant on a very specific branded Mike Golic session of trivia. So Unanswered will only remain unanswered for so long because he's got to give us something.
Gotta give us something. So in advance of College Football Week 14, we do have some news that we're going to get through momentarily. Don't forget, if you're interested in the Patreon, we've just been doing all sorts of cool stuff. We have something very cool that we're going to announce this weekend. Very cool, that I am very excited about. You started drawing up some of the graphics, and I am blown away once more by your creative muscles in making this thing a reality. But Verballers.com is where you can find the Patreon. You get the details on the little game that we're planning. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge.
Yeah.
Going out there, check it out. Also, tons of bonus content.
Support the show. Consider supporting the show. It does go a long way. If you like the show, if you listen for years and you want to support the show, we made it real easy for you.
Indeed, we did. Don't forget to follow along on social. Don't forget to subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts, or you can just go out to the website, solidverbal.com, if you'd like more info on how to do so. Dan, let's jump into news. Can you give me a sound? Because I'm losing my voice again. It's happening again.
Breaking news! Boop, 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 boop. You'll get there once you become a professional broadcaster.
You know,
Ty,
that wasn't bad. That was not bad.
Thank you. Thank you. Can we start with something that you don't have listed here on your news bullet points?
By all means.
It appears, and I'm just clicking the link right now, but the Boca Raton Bowl is now sponsored by roofclaim.com. roofclaim.com.
You know,
which, by the way, banner day for their website, I'm positive.
That has to be one of those outfits like the one that came knocking on my door about a year ago, where some dude I've never heard of or seen before shows up and says, hey, we'll inspect your roof to see if you have storm damage.
Mm-hmm.
And I let him. I didn't pay him, but right. I let him tell me what was wrong with it and then bid him fond adieu. Roofclaim.com, Boca Raton Bowl, eh?
They also sponsor the number 66 NASCAR Cup and Xfinity Series car driven by, looks like, Timmy Hill. So I don't know if you have a lot of Tim Hill race thoughts,
so
Ty, but roofclaim.com
which
also
is bigger,
involved there.
The bowl game or the race car?
I assume the bowl game. I assume the bowl game in terms of ratings, because bowl games tend to rate really well. And correct me if I'm wrong, I want to say FAU with Lane Kiffin won the Boca Raton Bowl last year.
Correct.
Decidedly.
That is factually correct.
So you get that big local market. Yeah, you're doing well. Roofclaim.com. I would imagine there was some sort of lowered rate, that the fact that it's happening in December, the announcement in December means maybe a deal was cut. I don't know what it costs to sponsor a bowl game in this very down economic year, but we can probably piece together somewhere close to it between us and the certified and premium verballers supporting the show. So there you go. Free advertising for
this. Could have been our opportunity.
A roofing company.
This could have been our opportunity, Dan, to sponsor a bowl game.
Could have been. But does your sort of black ops governmental agency do much of that?
I have no comment. I will neither confirm nor deny. You know the drill.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess nobody really fully knew what Bad Boy Mowers was all about. And now here you are, a proud representative.
So speaking of bowl games, the Vegas Bowl is off. It's the 10th bowl game.
That sucks.
To call off. They were actually going to play this one in the new Raiders Stadium, which it's a bummer we're not going to get to see a college football game, a bowl game played there. But, you know, we'll wait another year. We'll get it next year, hopefully. So that game's off.
4 of 8 Pac-12 aligned bowls now, along with the Red Box Holiday and Sun. We mentioned the Sun Bowl being called off earlier on in the week.
Bummer. Huge bummer.
Yeah.
One game that is not off. Actually, it's on and it came together very quickly. Coastal Carolina against BYU. So this is very interesting. Very interesting, Dan. They pulled this one together in a matter of hours or days. It wasn't originally supposed to happen, but there were some cancellations. And now here we are. BYU is favored by 10 points in this game, Dan. We certainly don't have a preview ready for it, but I don't know. Any thoughts on this, like, flex scheduling universe that we've entered into? We've seen it in the Pac-12. We're now seeing it here with BYU and Coastal.
Sure.
And as matchups go, especially in week 14, I think this would qualify as one of the better matchups. It's a pretty good game.
They've combined to lose how many games, Ty?
They've combined to lose 0 games.
0 games. That's a hell of a matchup, Ty. I am 4 matchups I can call a hell of a matchup. And this is on the teal turf. BYU is traveling Provo to, I believe it's Conway, South Carolina. I'm going to watch the hell out of this. I mean, we've got 2 good quarterbacks. We have 2 really impressive stories, given where, you know, BYU having the up and down 2019 and then storming a not fully impressive, but not their fault schedule this year thus far. And perhaps being a little bit further down in the playoff rankings than I think I would have assumed. And obviously Coastal's been an amazing Sun Belt story. And I'm excited that this was able to come together in a very strange year. It's a very positive thing that the forces behind the scenes were able to make this happen. So a lot of people have discussed, and we have questions that we're going to answer on the Brew FO about, is this something that we could see becoming a more regular thing flex scheduling, or not necessarily flex, but last second, leave an open date kind of thing in place. And this all came together, obviously, because Liberty was not able to have the minimum number of players
right.
to play in this game, that they were having their own COVID issues, which is unfortunate, of course. But yes, to have BYU have this available week, and the Liberty Coastal game looked like it was going to be a fantastic one.
Right. I was going to say, in a weird way,
yeah,
this is a pretty big upgrade for Coastal and for BYU.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's, I mean, Liberty BYU would be a hell of a game too. I just, I don't know if it's an upgrade, but it's, there's no fall off in terms of
no.
how interesting this game is. Perhaps even more just because the BYU, the big BYU game we did get to see, unfortunately, Boise had a hurt, an injured quarterback situation afoot. And now we get to see BYU at whatever full strength means in 2020, and same for Coastal, face off against each other. And so I forget about the playoff. Let's just enjoy really impressive football teams. That's all I want.
And finally, before we get into our interview with Mr. Golic,
mm-hmm.
you ever hear of a thing called the Knight Commission?
Yes. Couldn't tell. Yeah, they're just like sort of a group of people who think about college sports. I don't know how to define them. What are they?
Essentially, right? It's a commission okay. of higher education administrators.
They don't wield power, though.
They don't wield power, but you know, it's a notable group that has over the course of time offered suggestions for the course mm-hmm. of college football. And as of today, we're recording this on a Thursday. They've got a pretty significant proposal that they've put out. Again, it doesn't mean this is going to happen, but the proposal would leave 130 schools that participate at the FBS level to form a new governance structure. So what's notable about this is that structure would not be the NCAA. They've suggested that maybe they use a separate group, like the College Football Playoff, to organize right. a championship. This would mean that the NCAA is no longer responsible for overseeing the enforcement of rules, determining eligibility, creating health and safety protocols for FBS football. You could imagine there being a huge, 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 just like Zoom
where
call.
Where are you going with this?
You could imagine there's a huge Zoom call right now at NCAA headquarters talking about what this means in context. Again, hate to reiterate this, but doesn't really mean a whole lot. But I would say, just given the state of affairs, and I know we've been tweeting a little bit about the college football playoff and where we think the sport is headed. And to an extent, as we've discussed for many years in this show, it does feel like college football as a business has sort of outgrown college football as a thing that the NCAA can govern
right.
with any real efficiency.
Right.
And so and it does not, it, I mean, it should not come as a surprise to anybody that we've got a commission of, you know, smart people.
Opinionated aunts and uncles.
Opinionated aunts and uncles looking at this and saying, maybe they should just break away.
Right. I mean, the NCAA's involvement with FBS football has decreased exponentially over the years in that they're not organizing the sport. They're not, you know, coming up with what the postseason's going to look like. It's, you know, we have bowls, we have the college football playoff, excuse me, and the NCAA is there to enforce eligibility rules. And so college football has obviously grown to an astronomical place as compared to other sports. The NCAA's big cash cow is the NCAA tournament. That's where they make their money now with regard to major college sports. So I should say NCAA tournaments in basketball. So I suppose it's something that we've been talking about for a long time. It's just also one of those things where it's just like, we're getting away from fully explaining why there's a college part of college football if the college sports governing body has literally nothing to do with it. Right. So, I mean, it's one of the great and attractive and strange inconsistencies about college football, which helps to make it great. But it opens up interesting cans of worms.
The Knight Commission. More to come on this, I'm sure.
The Knight Commission.
The Knight Commission, Dan. The Knight Commission. That's all I got in the way of news.
If you say it often enough, it sounds better and better. That's all I have, too.
All right, Dan, joining us now, it's ESPN college football analyst, well-known sports personality, and the host of the Fan Exam, which we're going to talk a little bit about here today, Mr. Mike Golic. Sir, how are you?
I am doing well, man. How are you?
Fantastic.
We're doing really well. Good. Yeah, so we want to start off by talking about the Fan Exam. We, at the beginning of the pandemic, Dan and I would kind of make it a daily thing where we would go live on Twitter. We would pull somebody onto our show or onto our stream. Your son was one of those individuals. And we would just play kind of like a scrap together trivia game. You are now hosting a trivia game, 12 questions per game. Talk a little bit about the game and exactly what this all entails.
Well, I'm on the right side of it because I'm sure my son was horrible at trivia, and however bad he was, I'm 10 times worse. I am horrible. Just like when I studied for tests in school, the minute I took the test, I forgot the content and I just moved on. That's kind of like my sports career. I was playing and playing and playing, and I didn't know so much about the trivia, but I was approached to do, you know, it was kind of like this Scott, I always forget how to pronounce his last name, that did that HQ trivia. I used to play that all the time. We all did, you know, 10 questions or whatever it was, 10 or 12 questions. But if you got it wrong, you were done. Well, this was great because A, it was sports. B, it was college sports. And C, even if you got it wrong, you got to keep playing. And there were prizes attached to it. So I figured all I had to do was be able to read, which I've been doing for a couple decades now on air. It's all I had to be able to do is read in front of a camera, which at times isn't the easiest thing in the world, and have some fun, you know, mock some people who got some answers wrong, congratulate some people who got some answers right. So it's very cool. The biggest difference is like we're all doing now, like I'm sure you guys are doing and everybody's doing, you're doing it from home. You know, the last 3 months of Golic and Wingo were in my basement. We had the studio set up there. So that has turned into the studio for this. I've done some hits for CNN, and that same room has turned into the studio for CNN. So it's a makeshift room that you put a camera in, you put some lighting in, and you ask some questions. It's a lot of fun. I mean, we're getting a lot of people involved in it. Like I said, you get some college rivalry going. So I'm having a good time with it.
What is the number one tip you have for people now working from home? What is the big hack you've discovered that has made your life better/easier?
Well, I number one, hey, you got to have really good Wi-Fi. Unless you're hooking up by Ethernet, you know, you better have some good Wi-Fi. That's number one, or you're going to get choppy or go off. So unless you're hooked up, you know, you're hardwired, you better have some good Wi-Fi. If you're on TV, you better, I don't care what I look like, but my wife wants to say she's married to somebody who's halfway good looking. So make sure you have some good lighting. Like, you know, I'm looking at you and you have horrible lighting because you look horrible.
Wow.
I'm just
I have a beautiful
kidding.
Soft light right here.
I just had to say it. But
I know. Wow.
You know, everybody has that lighting ring now.
Oh,
you
it's
know?
Tough though. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you're going to be on camera, have the lighting ring. And if you're going to be on air anywhere, have good Wi-Fi.
So smart. Ty, go for it. What do you have?
I was just going to say there are two more weeks of the game remaining.
Oh, yeah.
The show is on December the 8th, the 10th, the 15th, and the 17th I have in front of me. So what is it like actually being the host of a trivia show as compared to a lot of the other stuff you've done in your broadcasting career?
Well, I love it because I was so excited when they approached me because it's different. You know, I've done, you know, after playing football, I've done a lot of things from TV to radio, a lot of different things, but I've never hosted a trivia game show. So I really like to kind of try some different things out there. And this was fun. And I think one of the best things about it is different, but after each question, when I give the right answer, I give a little factoid about it, which I see the questions just a few hours before the show, just to proofread and go over, and we all go over to make sure everything's factually correct. But I love the little factoids after the answer. Those are really cool. That's a lot of stuff I never knew. And I thought, man, you know what? When things, you know, get back to normal, people can take some of these factoids and go win a buck at the bar somewhere. I think it's pretty good information.
So I like that you use the term factoid, because we are going to play a game with you. You are now going to be the subject. You've already said that you are terrible at trivia. That's okay, because we have a forgiving audience. The questions are very dumb. And because I like the name of your show, The Fan Exam, but right now we are examining you. And so I have decided to call this show, because we're all men of a certain age, The Golanoscopy. Are you okay with that name?
The Golanoscopy?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. I was a little bit worried. It goes to a strange place, but I'm good with it. Okay.
Listen, it's a place we all need to go at some point, right?
It's true.
Proper care.
Absolutely. We're all taking that voyage. Yeah. So here's how the game works. I have five categories. We're going to ask you five questions, and then we're going to ask you follow-up questions that perhaps more have to do with you, more have to do with college football, whatever. Some of these are college football questions. The categories, we have a mic category. We have a go category. We have a lick. See where I'm going with this. We have a fan category, and we have an exam category. So mic, go, lick, fan, exam. You tell me where we're starting of those categories.
How do I not start with the lick?
I think that's
seriously
a great call. Here we go. For no dollars, no cents, there's a famous Tootsie Pop ad campaign about the number of licks it takes to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop. The question is asked by what kind of bird? And your hint, there it is. I was going to give you a hint that there are three FBS football owl programs. Owl is correct. Do you know those the programs?
Temple Owls.
Yep.
That's probably the only one I'm going to know.
Rice and FAU. But
very good. I love that commercial when he starts doing it. A one, a two, and then he bites it three. It takes three licks to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop.
So here's actually the interesting factoid on this.
From, I love it.
From Tootsie.com, because we couldn't leave well enough alone.
Of course not.
Quote, a group of engineering students from Purdue University reported that its licking machine, which I don't even want to know.
Nope.
More about that. It's licking machine.
That was Mike's nickname in high school, by the way. Continue.
Modeled after a human tongue, took an average of 364 licks to get to the center. Meanwhile, 20 of the group's volunteers assumed the licking challenge, unassisted by machinery. Thank you for that tidbit. And averaged 252 licks. So I guess we're to surmise that the real human tongue can do it a little bit more efficiently, but still a lot of meat on the proverbial bone there.
You gotta really be careful where you say stuff like that. But that was I love those kind of factoids, because robots aren't eating the lollipop. So I go with the human side of that and 200 or whatever it was. That's a great factoid. I like that.
Have you seen an owl in the wild? Are you an owl guy?
There is an owl every night we hear outside my house. We have a bunch of woods outside my house, and we hear an owl every single night. It's awesome. I would love to see the owl. I haven't yet, but I hear them. They're awesome.
We hear one at our place here, Mike, and same deal. We've heard it for months on end. And during the at some point this summer during the pandemic, my wife and I were outside by our fire pit and just saw sort of like the creepy silhouette of the owl atop our roof.
Mm-hmm.
And that was all we saw. We didn't get to see it fly or anything. We just sort of saw it watching there, gazing upon us.
It's a great story with a humble brag that you have a fire pit. Well done.
Yeah. No, I love that. That's another factoid. Another factoid added. Okay. Are we going to mic, go, fan, or exam?
Let's go fan.
We're going fan. Okay. I like this question a lot. In the middle of a major sporting event, a man called the Fan Man descended into the action, interrupting everything and causing a mess. What sport did he interrupt? And bonus, who was competing?
It was boxing.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't Ali, was it?
It was not. It was Riddick Bowe of Vander Holyfield.
Oh, okay. I knew it was a heavyweight. I knew it was heavyweights. I just couldn't remember what one. But I remember when he came down into the ring. So like most of my tests, I would get partial credit for that.
I mean, the bonus was just that question. You got the question right. You're two for two and putting your son to shame. Well, the man with your name, you are you're demolishing.
I never should have gave him my name, so.
Do you have experience with fans running on the field, by the way, interrupting?
No. I remember they used to do it in football games I'd see, but football players will hit them. So if you're going on the field, that usually means you're so hammered, you don't realize what you're going. I think it was Mike Curtis decades ago from the Baltimore Colts that so badly laid out a fan that ran onto the field that I don't know why another fan would ever attempt it in their lives. Outside of the, and now I'm going back in time because I know I'm way older than you guys. Do you guys remember the Kissing Bandit?
Of course.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So they would let her run onto the field because you knew you were going to get kissed.
That's an easy mark. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's what would your strategy have been? Would you have let somebody else tackle, or is that the moment everybody waits for?
I'm not wasting my energy. I got enough of work to worry about the 300 pounder I got to go against. I'm not running after some guy. Someone will get him. You know, unless he is, you know, endangering somebody. Yeah, go do your thing, man, until you get caught.
All right, we've got a Mike category. We've got a Go category. And we've got an exam category.
Let's go with Go.
Let's go with Go. All right. In arguably the most famous play consisting of Go roots, Doug Flutie completed a game-winning Hail Mary against Miami. We all know about Doug Flutie, but who started quarterback for the Canes that year?
Okay, that was in the 83-84 for the Canes. I got there in 81 to Notre Dame, my true freshman year, and played against them. And Jim Kelly was finishing there. I don't think it was Vinny at that point. Was Dorsey?
It was not. It was Bernie Kosar.
Oh, I should have known that. I played against Bernie a bunch in NFL. Oh, I got one wrong. Doggone it.
Bernie Kosar. So that was 1984.
Right.
You were captain of Notre Dame football team then. I believe you guys played against Miami and lost.
That game that was 56-7 was the year after I left. I was not in that game. And I thought you were going to ask me who was the receiver. Who was on the receiving end of the Hail Mary?
Okay.
Do you know answer to that?
I believe it. The last name's Palin. I can't remember if it's Scott or who, but I know it's like P-H-E-L-E-M or something like that. And a guy I worked with at Notre Dame.
Gerald Phelan. Yep.
Yeah. Gerald Phelan. Okay. Dan the Duke Davis, who was the voice of SportsCenter's radio for years.
Sure.
He did the radio call for Boston College. And when you see that famous play, they play it with the radio call, and that is my buddy Dan Duke Davis on the call.
Nice.
There's your factoid.
There it is. You beat me to the punch. Do you have any particularly triumphant and or soul-crushing plays that you personally experienced out on the field?
Well, the year before that play, we played Doug Flutie and Boston College in the Liberty Bowl my junior year in Memphis, and there was an ice storm, and I blocked a punt in that game. We won that game 18-17. So that was a pretty big play in that game.
Wow. Alrighty. Nice.
Other than that, I don't remember a ton about there's other people that remember more about my career than me. Listen, I had three interceptions and I got tackled by the quarterback every single time. I had 11 and a half sacks in 9 years, so I averaged a little over one per year. It was a nice career of 9 years, but there were not many distinguishing numbers.
Did you ever campaign for any sort of goal line action on offense?
No, never did. And no team I was on ever thought about putting me on. So,
do you think you would have thrived in that environment?
I will always say yes. I will always say I could have succeeded there.
Yep.
And now it's even better to say that because we have no way of knowing if I ever would have or not.
It's a good answer, Ty.
Really good answer. All right. So we've got two categories left here. We've got the mic and we've got the exam, the bookends.
I'm going to save my name for the end and let's go with exam.
Exam it is. All right. I don't know if there was a final exam, but this Heisman winning quarterback from the last 20 years, hint, hint, famously returned to school for a fifth year, only taking one rigorous class, ballroom dancing.
Yeah, God, I know this one and I'm going to forget the name. We had him on my show. I remember we talked about it with him on the show. I think it was a West Coast guy.
Yep. He's a current media member. Current media member.
Current college football analyst.
Yes.
Oh, my God. SC?
SC is correct.
Yeah, I was going to say, if I mentioned the Jeweled Shillelagh, does that give you any hint?
The Jeweled Shillelagh? That's, again, sounds like a personal thing, but... Oh, it's an SC quarterback, and why? And listen, I was born and raised to hate SC. I actually, when I was there, I was playing against Sean Salisbury, was one of the quarterbacks there. Sanchez never won the Heisman.
Pre-Sanchez.
I'm not going to get it.
Matt Leinart.
Oh, Matt Leinart.
Matt Leinart, the left.
Matt Leinart. Matt Leinart doing stuff with Fox now, correct?
Correct. That's right. He's on the studio show, does a good job alongside Reggie Bush and some others there. Urban Meyer.
Urban Meyer, yeah, who will soon be coaching again, probably. I need this last question now to be, you know, in a winning percentage.
Well, first of all, how are you as a dancer? That's what I want to know.
It depends on how drunk I am,
Sure.
but I feel I can move fairly well. Some injuries have cost me some mobility, but I feel I probably can't do many lifts because of the shoulder operations, but I feel that I can move decently well enough.
Are you enthusiastic in normal times, obviously on a yes. wedding dance floor? Are you yes. one of the first people out there?
No, I am not, but I will say this is where we're having some fun at my son's expense. This is where he blows me out of the water. He is, people would invite him to weddings even if they didn't know him. He is the party of a wedding. He goes on when they start to dance and doesn't leave until they're done dancing. He is the wedding party guy. So I could do it somewhat. He does it to the nth degree.
Smart. Smart. Did you have a class, by the way, in school, be it at the end of your career or anything, where it was not necessarily rigorous academically that you'd remember fondly?
Come on. I went to Notre Dame.
Yeah.
He went to SC. I mean, enough said.
Wow.
You know, there's no basket weaving at Notre Dame. All right. No. We didn't have any of those kind of classes. No blow-offs at all. No.
Okay. Good answer. Right. Good answer. Very, absolutely very Notre Dame not. Answer.
Bringing the fire here. All right.
The elitist Notre Dame people, right? Mm-hmm.
Final question in the Mike category. LSU's Mike the Tiger eats 140 pounds of meat per week. Is this more or less than what the average American eats of meat in a year?
100 pounds in a week. Does an average American eat more than 100 pounds of any kind of meat?
140 pounds of meat. So yeah, any kind of meat.
Any, poultry, red meat, whatever.
In a year, I have got to believe human beings eat more than that. I know I do.
The answer is, you're correct. It is less.
Yes.
The average human eats 222 pounds of meat of average American.
I throw that off because I'm up in probably the 500 pound range.
What is your annual meat intake?
A lot.
Or your weekly meat intake, let's say.
Probably close to the tiger.
Wow.
And that's all kinds. That's meat. That's red meat. That's chicken. I mean, I'll do it all. I don't discriminate.
Has there been a go-to dish this year, spending more time at home, a meat dish, be it grilling, be it baking, whatever? Has there been something go-to for you, especially in 2020?
I'm a big griller. I have a grill here. And since, you know, I was home all the time, my work commute lasted, you know, a set of steps. So a lot of burgers, a lot of cheeseburgers. Probably one of the best meat eating experiences I had. Again, this may predate you guys. If you ever heard of a place called the Ground Round Restaurant?
Oh, yeah, sure.
So it's a place where they gave you free peanuts and you could just throw the shells on the floor, you know, and be messy. And me and my two brothers, when we were growing up, one night they had a all wings you could eat for X amount of dollars, and like the beers were like 50 cents. So it was a slaughter fest. So at the end of it, my brothers, I can't remember which one had the most, but one of them ate in the 130s, the other ate in the 110s, and I brought up the rear. I was in the 90s as far as wings eaten and gallons of beer being drunk. So it was, that was probably one of the better eating displays. I had definitely had, I think it was the low 90s, 92, 93 wings over a matter of a few hours. We were just,
I don't want to know what your next morning was like after a collective nearly 300 combined wings.
Probably don't want to know what the next after 3 hours was like on that one. Yeah, that was a bad night. It's a place that had fans running like at low speeds. And my brother Greg is like 6'9". And at one point we were doing something stupid. He threw his hands in the air and his hand went right in the fan. luckily it was slow moving and he was
the ultimate fan exam.
Yeah, there you go.
I like that. Oh man.
Is there a particular food you think you could eat more of? Because like we have a thing on our show, Dan loves his pizza.
Yeah.
I have a weird fascination with pumpkin pie. I think I could eat the most like pumpkin pie of any food item. What would that one thing be for you?
Probably there are two things I've done a lot of things on the show, but one of the things I think I could compete well in is bacon. There was a one time when we were doing the show still at ESPN, there was some stat about somebody who ate X amount of bacon in X amount of time. And we were talking about it on the show. Me and Mike looked at each other like, that's nothing. So we had the ESPN calf cook us up a few pounds of bacon and they brought it on the set and we were crushing bacon. The other thing I did is I ate 38 mini donuts in like 4 minutes or something like that.
That's a great call.
But if I had to pick one, if it was nice, crispy bacon, I think I could hold my own against anybody in that.
What is your preferred bacon cooking method?
I need it crispy. I mean, okay. I'll put it in the pan, you know, sizzle it up and then, you know, dump it out and drain it. Let it really kind of crisp up. I got to have it crispy. I don't like that limp, fatty looking bacon. I need it crisp.
I like that. Do you know about the oven method where you start your oven from off and you preheat and get it to like 400 degrees in a pan? It cooks it slower. You still can have it as crispy as you want, but because you cook it slower, it stays meatier and crispy.
That's what I do.
I recommend it. Yeah.
How long do you cook it?
It's a longer cook. It's about 20 minutes.
Yeah, it takes about 20 minutes.
So in a regular pan.
Yes. You basically put it in an oven that's off. And then you set it to 400 degrees and it cooks as it preheats and comes to temperature.
Okay. You know, I'm going to try that.
We've got nothing but time, folks.
Boom. There you go, man.
I like it.
All right. So I think a pretty successful campaign here
on
the trivia game. Acquitting yourself as a trivia host.
I got more right than wrong. So, I mean, that's a win.
Golanoscopy, Ty.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Golanoscopy.
It's not
bad.
You
can use that, by the way, in any of your future endeavors. Feel free.
I don't think golanoscopy. I'd have trouble pronouncing it, let alone doing it.
Fair.
Sounds like I'm giving myself a colonoscopy.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, an intellectual one is how we're looking at this one right now. An intellectual colonoscopy, Ty. Is there a better place to end it than there?
I was going to ask him about Notre Dame. I guess there's
Ask him about Notre Dame.
A tie-in if you want to talk about intellectual colonoscopies. So Notre Dame, doing quite well this year. You obviously have a pretty obvious connection with the university. I'm curious to get your thoughts on how you see the rest of the season playing out. It's been cut a little bit short given some of the decisions by the ACC conference, but it seems like barring any kind of catastrophe this weekend, we're headed towards another Notre Dame Clemson rematch and then perhaps a playoff. Generally speaking, how do you feel about this Irish team compared to some of the versions we've seen in the recent past?
Well, the one I compare it to is the 2012 year, the year both my boys were on the team. Mike was the starting right guard and they went undefeated before they got shelled in the title game against Alabama. But the comparisons I have are that defense in 2012 was a top defense in the nation. And then they just, you know, didn't play well, and Alabama played really well, and they put up 40 some points on us. The offense that year was basically a 200 rush, 200 pass offense. There was a redshirt freshman, Everett Golson, who was a quarterback, didn't throw great. Tommy Reese, the current offensive coordinator for Notre Dame, was the kind of the bullpen quarterback then. He would come into times. This offense is a better throwing offense. This defense is almost as good, not quite, but they're right there with that defense. And I think that's one of the reasons they're where they are, is this defense. This defense over the last few years has picked up a lot of speed. And I know a lot of people say, well, you know, Clemson didn't have Trevor Lawrence or four starters on defense. And that's all true. But, you know, you play with who's on the field. That's just the way it goes. We'll have another shot here to see what happens. I do think Notre Dame has enough to compete because of the defense. That's why I thought they would compete well in the 2012 game, because of the defense. But it didn't happen that way. So we'll see. Ian Book is having a heck of a year. He's not the greatest passer around, but he finds out how to do it to get a win, and he runs extremely well at times. I think the big thing about this year is the teams outside the top four will be rooting for Alabama and Notre Dame. Reason being, Alabama will probably play Florida in the SEC title game. If they beat Florida, Florida's got two losses, they're out. If Notre Dame beats Clemson, Clemson now has two losses and they're out. Because if they go the other way, if Florida beats Alabama in a good game, there could be a chance both Alabama and Florida make the Final Four. And if Clemson were, and or if Clemson were to beat Notre Dame in a close game, you could see Clemson and Notre Dame possibly being in the playoffs. So that's kind of where we are. I do think Notre Dame does have the ability to contend this year, yes.
And it does feel like they've gotten better as the season's gone a little bit deeper. You know,
well, one of the reasons, I mean, it took a while. They're replacing their three top receivers, including Chase Claypool's having a rookie of the year with the Steelers. But they're replacing three of their top receivers. And one of the guys that's really kind of stepped up has been a true freshman, Michael Mayer, the tight end. So that takes a little while. You know, your new receivers on the outside, you know, freshman tight end to go along with a junior tight end in trouble, who's doing a nice job, obviously, as well. So I think it took a little bit of time. They were running the ball well. It took a little time to get the passing game going. And then again, when Ian needs to run to get yards, he does a great job doing that. So, yeah, they built nice. And Clark Lee, their defensive coordinator, that's going to be the issue going forward, is he is going to be a candidate for head coaching jobs out there. Notre Dame's got to find a way, hopefully, to hang on to him like Dabo and Clemson have been able to hang on to Brent Venables, their D coordinator, which means pay him a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Pay that man his money. All right. Well, his name is Mike Golic. He is a noted Notre Dame alum, but of course, an ESPN college football analyst and the host of the Fan Exam. Again, we got 2 weeks of games left, starting here on the 8th of December, running through until the final game on the 17th. We wish you well, Mike. Thanks so much for stopping by. We'll have to check out the game, and best of luck.
All right, thanks, man. My pleasure, guys.
Take
care.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital.
Crow portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
All right, Dan, fun conversation with Mr. Golic.
Yeah, you love that word. Fun show.
Fun
show. People have pointed that out. And I love it. I love that people listen so much that they understand our leanings, what we use as crutch words. I use the word obviously far too much, but that was fantastic. I've long been a fan of Mike Golic. I'm glad he has zeroed into college football. Of course, he was on the radio forever and ever. I thought he was a good sport. I am happy that the word golinoscopy got used a number of times. That was a goal of mine.
Didn't offend him, which is always a
perk. Why would it? At this point. So anytime I can do anything and tie it to a game show or trivia tie, you know I'm a fan. So appreciate him coming on.
I realize this after I said it. That I don't know for sure. What is that one food for you that you could eat the most of?
When he said it's probably nothing sweet, because I definitely feel like I have ceilings with sweet foods where I just feel gross. But when he said the mini donuts thing, that took me back to high school. They had that in our like little cafeteria shop there.
The donut holes.
I used to pound not donut holes. Like the Hostess donuts.
Oh,
like
yeah.
You either yeah. powdered or the chocolate frosted.
Not a sponsor.
Or I think a cinnamon crumb maybe is there's an option. Not a sponsor. But if Leland Host is listening, I'll take a case. Yeah, that took me out. What is my one food that tacos are pretty interesting to me because there's nothing particularly starchy. Whereas like a pizza dough, you know, it's going to fill you up pretty quickly. Bacon's not bad, but the grease factor, the mouthfeel is not ideal after a while.
Could you eat a whole Domino's pizza? A large Domino's plain pizza.
I could probably eat a pizza that size. I don't know if I would do Domino's. Yeah. So my answer is yes, but I would want a different.
You would want a different maker. Pizza. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I could do an entire pizza. I'm trying to think of like the small, more bite-sized things. Like I could probably pound a lot of oysters. I know that's a thing.
Oh, boy.
Maybe a fried oyster. Because they're slimy. They slide right down, Ty. Do you like a raw oyster?
No, not really.
Do you like a fried or a cooked oyster, a roasted oyster?
I think I've had fried oysters before. They were okay. I don't know if I'd be able to eat a whole lot of them. Didn't we do a thing recently where we talked about chicken nuggets or chicken fingers?
Maybe. I know Andy Staples on his podcast, they did that. And then he tried to see how many he could do. And he did, I think, low 60s.
Okay.
He was raising money for charity.
I think you asked me about that. If I could go anywhere, if I get anywhere close to that.
Oh, man. Okay. I'm trying to think. Okay. So something that's not too heavy starch-wise, not too heavy dough-wise. Pizza's really hard to do a lot of. The hot dog challenge is not all that interesting to me. You've said pumpkin pie repeatedly.
Yeah.
What could I just wreck a million of?
I think I finally found a question that you don't have a quick answer to.
An immediate quick food answer to?
Because you're so deep in the weeds with all things food that maybe you've never thought about food in this manner.
Yeah, I'm going to say tacos. Yeah. I'm going to say I could put away a lot of tacos, especially on a thinner corn tortilla. Yeah, I think that's probably my answer. But I'm thinking like the bite-sized things I could just eat nonstop at a wedding. Like I could eat a lot of shrimp cocktail, probably. I think I could eat a lot of shrimp cocktail.
How many baby carrots could you eat in one sitting?
Well, baby carrots. I mean, it's all water. So it's going to fill you up in a different way, but I could eat a lot. You know, baby carrots don't exist in the wild, right?
I'm intimately familiar. Yes.
Okay. what is that small hand, like if you're at a wedding, tie and I've talked about this with Jeff on Big Boy Bets, everybody listen to Big Boy Bets, bigboybets.show. If you're at a wedding and you see that there is this hors d'oeuvre, this appetizer, this bite,
yeah,
what is it that you would like actually try to find the door where the servers are coming out of to cut that server off and get refilled?
I mean, the pigs in a blanket are...
Sure. A classic.
Just like a classic never dies. Pig in a blanket.
What about that like mini barbecue meatball?
No, the meatballs aren't bad.
You could do a lot of those mini barbecue, like the sweet and sour meatballs almost.
Yeah, I could. I really could.
Maybe that's my answer.
All right, well, right in. Solidverbal@gmail.com. Hit us up on social. Let us know your answer to this. And of course, your
thoughts. It's my favorite part of the hot dog eating championship every year. The Nathan's thing, when they roll through the different belts, when it's just like the gyoza eating the puff pastry, the blah, blah, blah. Like, I love them rolling through the different belts they have. That is amazing.
It's like Nadal on clay. Somebody's got that gyoza belt. And it's just their one corner of the universe that they're better at than everybody else.
You hear the oysters, you hear the wings, but then that year that I heard gyoza, that's a real thing that is announced. I think it was Joey Chestnut. If you're a gambling man, it's probably Joey Chestnut. But when they announced that he was the, in fact, and just let it be known in case anybody doubts him, the gyoza belt also belongs, gyoza, to Joey Chestnut. Oh, it's amazing.
Well, look, give us a call, 408-VERBAL-1, as you're watching the games this weekend. That's the Reverb line. Don't forget, call in, stream of consciousness, let us know what's on your mind. You can also always email us, solidverbal@gmail.com. Don't forget to subscribe to the show if you have not already. And we're going to hop over to verballers.com now, to our Patreon, and do a little thing we like to call the Brewfo, Dan.
Would you like to hear all of Joey Chestnut's records? I have them in front of me. You ready?
Do it. Let's close out.
And then we'll go. We'll
records.
Go to the Brewfo. I love doing the Brewfo, by the way. You should definitely go to verballers.com to get in on that action. Hot dogs, 74. Hard boiled eggs, 141 in
Holy
8 minutes.
Cow.
Is that a food? After I give each of these foods, do you think you could not compete with Joey Chestnut, but do you think that could be something you could eat en masse? Hard boiled eggs?
Definitely not. The yolks would dry you out.
That's true.
Yeah.
Glazed donuts, 55 in 8 minutes.
How many?
55 in 8 minutes. Ty, we got a lot to go through here. You got to give me a yes, no.
Go ahead.
No, I mean, is that something that you would feel good about, your pounding ability?
No.
Pulled pork sandwiches, 45 in 10 minutes.
No.
Taco Bell soft shell beef tacos, 53 in 10 minutes.
I might be able to contend. I might be able to contend there.
182 in 30 minutes, chicken wings, parentheses, long form.
No chance.
No, but you could pound a bunch of chicken wings. I've seen you eat wings. You're good with that.
I can eat wings, but I can't eat 182 in 30
minutes. No, of course
minutes.
Not. Crystal hamburgers, so like sort of a slider-sized burger.
Oh.
Do you think you could do damage with sliders?
How many did he eat?
Well, more than you. 103 in 8 minutes.
No, I couldn't contend to that degree, but I could eat a lot of them.
Shrimp wontons.
Whoa.
I could do shrimp wontons.
Could
not
you?
On his level. Yeah, I could do a ton of shrimp wontons. Yeah, I could probably do 30. He did 390 in 8 minutes. Twinkies, 121 in 6 minutes. Standard, I guess, medium form chicken wings, 413 in 12 hours.
We got to get Chestnut on the show to talk about this. We have to do it. That's
mutton
my next
sandwiches.
Goal.
Mutton sandwiches. That's lamb, I believe.
Ugh.
81 sandwiches in 10 minutes. Or maybe it's, yeah. Big Macs, 32 in 38 minutes.
Whoa.
Tamales, 102 in 12 minutes. God,
that's a bad morning after right there.
Yeah. Grilled cheese sandwiches, 47 in 10 minutes. Here it is, Ty. Gyoza. You know what a gyoza is? Like mini dumpling?
Sure.
384 in 10 minutes.
Holy cow.
38.4 dumplings per minuto. Pastrami sandwiches from Katz's, half portion, 25 7-ounce sandwiches in 10 minutes.
Have you ever had a Katz sandwich?
Well, okay, let's be clear. It's not a feline sandwich.
Right.
It's, K-A-T-Z. Yes, I've been to Katz's. I think it's pretty good.
Okay.
They're tall. They're not diminutive sandwiches. Ice cream sandwiches, 25 and a half in 6 minutes. Here it is. Okay. Pierogi.
Okay.
165 in 8 minutes.
Holy cow.
Could you eat 40 pierogies in a sitting?
40 pierogies?
Yeah, no, nothing timed, but just like, okay, I'm hungry. I'm sitting down for Pierogi Fest 2020.
No chance. 40? No way.
40. Okay.
No way.
That's a quarter of what he did in 8 minutes. Sausage and cheese kolaches. Sort of a Texas empanada, if I had to explain. I don't know. It's hard to explain. They're delicious, though. 56 in 8 minutes.
Jesus.
Pepperoni rolls, 43 in 10 minutes. And here we are, Ty. Full circle. Hostess Donettes. What is your guess? Joey Chestnut, 6 minutes. Hostess Donettes. I do not have if it's powdered, frosted, or cinnamon crumb.
222. 6 minutes.
Over. 257. No. 257 in 6 minutes. Hi.
How's that even possible?
We're talking about a king amongst men. I don't know. Final question, Ty. What? Do you think Joey Chestnut's a good kisser? Do you think he has any sort of command of restraint? That's all I have. Man. I'm done. Yeah.
All right. Well, join us over at herballers.com.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to after this, but we've got more fun.
Yeah.
More fun, Dan, to be had.
Yeah. I'm excited. I'm done. I've said everything I want to say after Hostess Donette talk.
For that guy over there, Dan Rubenstein, for myself, Ty Hildebrandt. We'll see you soon. Stay solid.
Peace.